Will the membership vote to signify their presence?
The roll shows 15 members present this morning, Mr. President.
Members, please stand for invocation by the Chaplain Reverend Roger Wharton of the Holy Trinity Episcopal Church.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you are the giver of health and life. We ask you to look upon the men and women of the Senate of the State of Alaska and bless them so that they may promote life and health by their personal actions and through the legislation that they pass. We bid you to send your special healing power to Senator Fahrenkamp, who is sick and suffering far from her homeland, and to all those who minister to her of your healing graces, that she might be restored to fullness of health and spirit. Heal us all and make us whole, so that we might better serve this great land we call home in your beauty and harmony. Amen.
Will Senator Jones please lead the Senate in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Senator Ewing.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread on the journal.
Hearing no objections, motion carried. Will Secretary please certify the journal?
I wish to certify as the correctness of the journals for the 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th, 28th, 29th, Legislative Days, and Senate House Joint Journal Supplement Number 7.
Senator.
I ask unanimous consent that journals be approved as certified by the Senate Secretary.
Hearing no objection, motion carries. Introduction of guests, Senator Katula.
President, it gives me a great deal of pleasure to introduce to you again Senator Victor Fisher, Professor Victor Fisher, who will introduce their distinguished guests who will occupy something of a similar position in the Soviet Union.
Mr. President, members of the Senate, it's a real pleasure to see Secretary Lice in the chair of this August chamber and see a lot of my good friends here. I have today a tremendous privilege of introducing a man who is a friend of mine. He is a member of the highest elected body in the Russian Republic. He is a member of the Russian Federation Parliament, a member of the Supreme Soviet, and a member of the Presidium, which is like the executive committee that runs the entire Russian Federation legislature. He serves there as chairman of a very important committee, which is the Committee on Inter-Republic Relations. As such, he's been working with their president, Yeltsin, on drafting treaties with the various republics in the Baltics, in the Ukraine, and others. He is, in addition to being a politician, and I might add that he uses the word politician in a very honorific sense. It's not looked down upon there as yet, anyway. But in addition to that, he's also a renowned academic there, and academic is also a term of high esteem. In fact, he's a member, a full member of the USSR Academy of Sciences. He is an economist who is the head of the Institute of Economics of Siberia, concerned with northern development, very familiar with Far East development. He has just finished a series of lectures at the University of Alaska Anchorage, where he has covered in seven lectures sort of everything from the beginnings and the political situation right through the economic reform proposals, what's been happening lately, the retreat to the right, and coming right down to the relationship between Alaska and the Soviet North and the Far East, and across the South, and so on. Tomorrow afternoon at 5, Professor Granberg, Academician Granberg, is going to be meeting with a joint session of the Senate and House International Trade Committees, and I'm sure it'll be very interesting. Today at 6 o'clock, he is meeting with the Juno World Affairs Council, making a presentation there. He is a brilliant individual who is has tremendous insights and is particularly interested in developing some very close working economic relationships between the Russian Federation and Alaska. And I'd like to present Professor Alexander Redberg.
Thank you, Senator Fisher. It's good to see you again, and as a former member of this body, you have opportunity to speak for yourself.
Mr. President, I've had lots of says in the past, and I would like to say a few words with you. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any further inductions of guests? Senator Adams.
Yes, I'd like to introduce one of my sons here, who is ill from school this morning, but half hour after it started, the flu went away.
Messages from the governor?
There are no messages from the governor this morning, Mr. President.
Messages from the House?
The House has passed Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 9, declaring a day of support for the members of the armed forces serving in the Middle East in the war against Iraq. This resolution has been forwarded to enrolling. Message of February 13th, dear Mr. President, the House has passed. Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 14, State Affairs, by the House State Affairs Committee, relating to withholding the federal income taxes from emergency firefighters employed by the Bureau of Land Management.
State Affairs.
And those are all the messages from the House this morning, Mr. President.
Communications.
The following reports have been received. Annual Performance Report of Boards and Commissions FY90.
The Labor and Commerce.
Report of Charitable Gaming on the Airwaves from John Hansen, Gaming Program Manager.
Labor and Commerce.
Following reports, Violent Crimes Compensation Board 17th Annual Report 1990, General Investment Policies from the Treasury Division, Alcoholism and Drug Abuse 1990 Annual Report, Alaska Mental Health Board Annual Report for 1990, Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault Annual Report January 1991, Alaska Permanent Fund 1990 Annual Report, Alaska Community Schools FY90 Report, Alaska Industrial Development Export Authority 1990 Annual Report, Alaska Public Utilities Commission Annual Report, Fiscal Year 1990. Copies of these reports are available in the Senate Secretary's office, and those are all the communications this morning, Mr. President.
Reports of standing committees.
Rules Committee considered Senate Bill number 32, granting certain juvenile correction institutional employees status as peace officers under the public employees retirement system, and Senate Bill number 24, supplemental appropriations to the Department of Administration and the Department of Health and Social Services related to a longevity bonus program, recommends to be placed on today's calendar. Reports were signed by Senators Jaroff, Chair, concurring, Senators Elias and Duncan, Jones, and Helfert. These two bills are on today's calendar, and those are all the standing committee reports this morning, Mr.
Reports
President.
Reports of special committees?
There are no special committee reports.
Introduction of Senate resolutions.
Senate concurrent resolution number 11 by Senators Hoffman, Sturgalewski, Adams, Pierce, Frank, Menard, Collins, Jaroff, Schultz, and Eliason, urging all Alaskans to take pride in sobriety.
Yes, committee.
Senate concurrent resolution number 12 by Senators Jones and Adams, establishing the Joint Committee on School Improvement.
Yes, finance.
Senate joint resolution number 18 by Senator Sturgalewski, relating to S-15, a federal bill against violence to women.
State Affairs, Judiciary.
Senate Joint Resolution number 19 by Senator Adams, relating to the management of the walrus population.
Resources.
And those are all the resolutions this morning, Mr. President.
Introduction of Senate bills.
Senate Bill number 126 by Senators Frank, Sturgalewski, Pierce, Ewing, and Jones, an act relating to the review and reporting requirements of agencies of the state relating to the state mineral policy and providing for an effective date.
Resources, finance.
Senate Bill number 127 by Senators Frank, Fisher, Pearson, Jones, an act relating to the use of state land.
Resources, finance.
Senate Bill number 128 by Senator Menard, an act making an appropriation to the Alaska Children's Trust Fund and providing for an effective date.
Yes, finance.
Senate Bill number 129 by Senator Pershaw, an act making a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Community and Regional Affairs for the Daycare Assistance Program and providing for an effective date.
CRNRA, finance.
Senate Bill number 130 by Senator Adams, an act relating to acquisition of tenure rights.
Yes.
Senate Bill number 131 by Senators Duncan and Adams, an act relating to the notice requirements for the adoption, amendment, or repeal of regulations for the meetings of public agencies and for state elections.
State Affairs, Finance.
Senate Bill number 132 by Senator Fisher, an act relating to school term.
Yes, Finance.
Senate Bill number 133 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act making appropriations for capital projects and providing for an effective date.
Finance.
Senate Bill number 134 by the Senate Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act amending certain appropriations made in 1990 to the Department of Health and Social Services, making miscellaneous supplemental appropriations for fiscal year 1991 and prior fiscal years and providing for an effective date.
Finance.
And those are all the new bills for introduction this morning, Mr. President.
Senator Katula.
Ask unanimous consent that I be shown as co-sponsor of Senate Bill 129.
Hearing no objection, motion carries. Senator Ealing.
Mr. President, same motion. I move unanimous consent to be a co-sponsor on Senate Bill 129.
What's the title?
Daycare Assistance Supplemental. Adam.
Hearing no objection, motion carried. Senator Duncan.
Same motion.
Same answer. Senator Rohde.
The same motion.
So ordered. Senator Menard.
Same motion.
Motion carried. Senator Zara.
Same motion.
Motion's carried. Consideration of the daily calendar.
Senate Bill number 24 by Senators Kurtula, Sturgalewski, Ewing, Hoffman, Pershaw, Frank, Adams, Helfert, Elias, and Jones, Rohde, Collins, Jaroff, and Fisher, an act making supplemental appropriations to the Department of Administration and the Department of Health and Social Services related to the longevity bonus program and providing for an effective date. Finance Committee considered the bill and recommends the Finance Committee substitute the majority to pass. Report was signed by Senators Pershaw and Pertullo, co-chairs, concurring Senators Duncan, Adams, Hoffman, and Ewing. Rules Committee considered the bill, recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senator Jaroff, chair, concurring Senators Elias and Jones, Duncan, and Halford. There is a Finance Committee substitute.
Senator Pershaw?
The first time out is a little rough. I would move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance CS be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, the Finance Committee substitute is adopted. Senator Menard.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that I be shown as a co-sponsor on SB 24.
Hearing no objection, motion carries. Are there Senator Halford?
A question to the Finance Committee. The Finance CS went from 392 to 792 on the hold harmless provision. I wonder what that was based on.
Senator Adams.
Yes. One of the things that the Governor Cooper did was, the former governor, was vetoed longevity bonus plus the hold harmless. And basically what we're restoring is that from 392,900 to up to 792,600. Has testified in finance that basically that we had additional caseloads and that we needed to put the extra money in there along with the supplemental of $5 million for the longevity bonus.
Senator Duncan.
I didn't want to interrupt the conversation, but I was looking, Mr. President, I thought I had co-sponsored this bill, but my name is not on there. So if not, I'd like to move that I am a co-sponsor.
Hearing no objection. Motion carried. Senator Pierce.
Mr. President, I'd like to move that I be shown as a co-sponsor on Bill 24.
No objection. Motion carries. Senator Halford.
Well, I just want to make sure that the 792 was substantially more than was vetoed. The $5 million was vetoed. The 792 is another number. And if the hold harmless is growing at that rate over last year's approved budget by the governor, that's a pretty big category of growth.
Senator Cartula.
There is growth, and there is also an error in computations previously. My understanding, again, that the total needed now is 792 for the whole harmless. There's substantial backup for it is in finance. And the original figure, of course, was the pre-filed figure that was available to us from the governor's veto message. But I believe, again, he vetoed that plus the 392 portion, the whole harmless. So we're just in a differential area.
Senator Halford.
Just on one other note, I would note that the governor did include the $5 million in his supplemental that was read across today.
Thank you. Senator Cartula.
I think it's in the House supplemental, Mr. President. I don't think he included it in the Senate supplemental.
Are there any amendments? Senator Halford.
I move and ask unanimous consent committee substitute for Senate Bill 24 finance be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, and placed in final passage.
Without objection, committee substitute for Senate Bill 24 finance is in third reading. Will the secretary read the bill?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 24 finance by the Finance Committee, an act making supplemental appropriations to the Department of Administration and the Department of Health and Social Services related to the longevity bonus program and providing for an effective date.
Senator Cartula.
President. I'm particularly proud of the Senate for keeping its responsibility intact, keeping its relationship to the pioneers whole. Mr. President, it was the legislature that initiated the program. It's the legislature that's continuing the program. It's the legislature that has kept the faith.
Senator Ewing.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just briefly, as a co-sponsor of the bill, I'm going to support the bill. Certainly is well needed in lieu of the fact that the governor is talking about reducing the longevity amount from the 250 to a lesser amount. Also, I just might add just a question for the record, maybe to go on the record, even though I know we've somewhat discussed it up in the Finance Committee to one of the co-chairs. In regard to our procedure on supplemental funding, I see we had a bill introduced this morning in regard to daycare assistance as well as other issues out there that have been short-funded in the budget. And I was just wondering what the procedure is going to be in the future if we're going to just be passing 10 or 15 supplemental bills.
Senator Cartula.
Mr. President, speaking in the conversations I've had with the co-chairman of finance, who has the bill responsibility, but it impacts operating budgets, so there's an unclear distinction. We just worked together with the committee. We are coming down probably by tonight. We have roughed out a program for consideration by the Senate Finance Committee of the areas of what one will be the estimates of midpoint in income, what will be fundings estimated to be available for supplementals, fundings of estimated to be available for capital, operating, and the other areas of budget that are required. I think that work will be done for Senate purview. And of course, after the Senate Finance Committee gets finished, it'll be become available for the all members of the legislature, and at that stage, we'll probably, at least in the regard to totals, come before all members of the Senate so they know what we propose and at least give some concurrence to that program that we're going to initiate. It'll be a matter of days before we get it to the caucus or to the body, but we will have it to finance as early as tomorrow morning or tonight.
Question? The question being, so committee substitute for Senate Bill 24, finance, passed the Senate. Senators may proceed to vote. Has any senator failed to vote? Secretary will lock the roll. Do any senators wish to change their vote? The secretary will record the roll. And so, committee substitute for Senate Bill 24, finance, has passed the Senate with 15 yeas and no nays. Senator Halford?
I move and ask unanimous consent to the roll call and final passage of committee substitute for Senate Bill number 24 be considered the roll call and effective date clause.
Without objection, the effective date clause is adopted.
Senate Bill number 32 by Senators Duncan and Sturgilewski, an act granting certain juvenile correctional institution employee status as peace officers under the public employees retirement system and providing for an effective date. State Affairs Committee considered the bill recommends to be replaced with committee substitute for Senate Bill 32 State Affairs and reports it back as follows. Senator Rooley, Chair, and Senator Duncan signed do pass. Senator Pershaw signed no recommendation. Finance Committee considered the bill and recommends the State Affairs Committee substitute be adopted and majority do pass. Report was signed by Senators Pershaw and Petula, co-chairs concurring. Senators Duncan, Adams, and Hoffman. Senator Ewing signed no recommendation. Zero fiscal and attached. Rules Committee considered the bill recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senators Yaroff, Chair, concurring. Senators Elias and Duncan, Jones, and Halford. There's a Finance Committee substitute. State Affairs Committee substitute, excuse me.
Senator Rudy.
I got very used to sitting here letting Senator Halford do the work. I would move and ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for Senate Bill 32 be adopted to lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, the State Affairs Committee substitute is adopted.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 32, State Affairs, an act granting certain juvenile correctional institution employees status as peace officers under the public employees retirement system and providing for an effective date.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
At ease. Where are we? Have you read the bill?
Yes.
Second time?
And there's no amendments raised to pass.
There are no amendments, Senator Halford.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill number 32 be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, and place in final passage.
Without objection, committee substitute for Senate Bill 32, State Affairs, is in third reading. Will the Secretary read the bill?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 32, State Affairs, an act granting certain juvenile correctional institution employees status as peace officers under the public employees retirement system and providing for an effective date.
Discussion? Senator Halford.
Question on the fiscal note. I see a zero fiscal note, and then I see a total cost to the state of $168,584. I wonder if the sponsor could explain what the difference in those things is. And does it, in fact, increase the state cost by $168,000?
Senator Porcheau?
Let me try before the bill sponsor and see, because I had the same question. And apparently it's a format problem more than anything. The cost is $168,000. The reason, however, that the zeros have appeared, not just in this bill, but in previous retirement-type bills, is that the costs of the program of the employer's contributions for these past liabilities are borne throughout the system by all employees in all departments. Theoretically, there should be 9 or 10 departmental fiscal notes parceling this amount out. That becomes impractical. The convention has been for retirement benefits to put out a zero fiscal note with the note on what the costs are, because they don't want to be, quote, charged with the full amount of $168,000. In the budgeting process, obviously at the end of the budget bill, we'll have fiscal notes tacked on. Typically, those fiscal notes are then given, or those monies are allocated to specific agencies or departments. In this case, the money is really system-wide. It's not the whole $168,000 really doesn't go to any one person. I don't think this is the best way to deal with it. We'll be looking for better ways of dealing with it. Maybe it seems like ideally it would be the reverse. $168,000 is on the fiscal note with the note saying it goes system-wide. We'll pursue that in the future, but apparently this has been the way this has been dealt with up to now.
Senator Halford.
I agree with the comments of the co-chairman of the Finance Committee, and if they do go back and do it the other direction, I think it reflects the real effect of the legislation. I think the fiscal note statute essentially requires that. I think the information's there, and there's certainly no problem with it, but I think the better way to do it would be put it right on the face of it, so you have what complies with the statutory requirement for 5 years of actual cost.
Senator Frank.
Thank you. Question to the committee, or to the State Affairs Committee Chair. Am I correct that they added nurses into the deal in State Affairs?
Senator Rohde.
Yes. There was one person in the system, and the committee felt that it was appropriate to add that person because they were in a special class in essentially the same position as the counselors and under the same conditions that the other supervisors were.
Okay. Senator Frank. Question. Then, is the practical effect of this to allow them to, or what benefits besides a 20-year and out, or do they have a 20-year and out situation? Are there other things that this means to them?
Senator Duncan.
Mr. President, no. What this means is 20-year and out retirement system for the youth probation officers, juvenile probation officers, and also for the nurses. There's actually, there's 165 of the juvenile probation officers, three of the nurses is what's estimated for a total of 168. But the only benefit it brings them, only I say, but is a 20-year and out system. There's nothing else. I'm not sure what you're
No, that was,
thinking.
I just want to make sure that's what.
Right. No other benefits like new cars or anything like that.
Senator Euling.
For the record, to the sponsor of the bill, as far as the solvency of the fund depurs, it still would be intact, and this would not hurt the solvency of the fund in any way, shape, or form.
Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, that's the question. It would not hurt the solvency of the fund. That's why you fund this program. I mean, if you did not appropriate $168,000 a year, the employer contribution, and if the employees did not contribute, if you're giving a benefit and not having a contribution there, then the solvency of the fund could go down or might go down. But with the money being put into the retirement fund, both from the employer and from the employee, will have to go back and pick up their share, then it maintains the solvency of the fund. Just for general information purposes, I don't have the last report that was done, but the director, or the, I guess not director, I guess he's the assistant director of retirement benefits, Mr. Stalnaker, testified that our fund is, I think, 93% or somewhere in that neighborhood as far as solvency goes, and that's very, very good as far as other state funds go. We are in good shape. This does not have the impact of reducing that. They've done this actuarially, and it's supposed to work out over the long term.
Is there any further discussion?
Question.
The question being, shall committee substitute for Senate Bills 32, State Affairs, pass the Senate? Senators may proceed to vote. Has any senator failed to vote? Secretary, lock the roll. Do any senators wish to change their vote? Secretary, record the roll. And so, committee substitute for Senate Bill 32, State Affairs, passes the Senate. by 15 yeas and no nays. Senator Halford.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call and final passage of Senate Bill 32, State Affairs, be considered the roll call and the effective date clause.
Without objection, the effective date clause is adopted.
Citations honoring Barney Gottstein by Senators Adam Schar, Sturzewski, Karen Camp, Elias, and Collins, Pierce, Trotula, Rody, Menard, Duncan, Ewing, and Pershaw, honoring Charles G. Moses, Senators Ferencamp, Sturzewski, Pierce, Rody, Menard, Duncan, Ewing, and Pershaw, in memoriam Neil Bassett by Senators Sturzewski, Pierce, and Pershaw.
Senator Rody.
Intent that my name be added to the Bassett memoriam.
Hearing no objection, motion carries. Senator Halford.
Sent to be added to the Gottstein, Moses, and Bassett citations.
Without objection, motion carries. Senator Frank.
Yeah, I would like to be added as to the Gottstein citation.
Without objection, motion carries. Senator Cotton.
Yeah, I just sent one of these green slips up to the Senate Secretary. Now, is that satisfactory, or need I make a motion on a citation the day it passes? That's satisfactory. Thank you.
Senator Jones.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that my name be added to the Barney Gottstein.
Hearing no objection, motion carries. Senator Halford.
I move and ask unanimous consent the citations appearing on today's calendar be adopted by the Senate.
Without objection, the citations are adopted. Unfinished business. Senator Pierce.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that we waive the five-day publication notice for Senate Bill 70, an act relating to taxation by municipalities of certain property of government entities, providing for an effective date. We'd like to hear that tomorrow in Labor and Commerce. It passed out of CNRA last week with a CS.
Hearing no objection, motion passes. Senator Rode, for show.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to move and ask
the Finance Committee be allowed to waive CS for Senate Bill 98, State Affairs. It deals with permanent fund dividends for military personnel who have been detained and meeting some requirements of the permanent fund rule due to the Gulf War. There is some urgency on this, and that there was considerable work done in the State Affairs Committee. Mr. President, I would ask permission that I be allowed to withdraw my motion.
Permission granted, I guess. Senator Zaroff.
Are we under unfinished business?
We are under unfinished business, that's correct.
Okay. With the consent of the sponsors, I would like to move and ask unanimous consent that I be shown as co-sponsors to the following. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 98, which is the act relating to the eligibility of the permanent fund dividends of certain individuals, and also to Senate Joint Resolution 15, opposing the proposed reduction of cost of living adjustment for federal employees in Alaska, and also SJR 15 opposing the proposed reduction. I guess I did that one already. Those are the two.
Hearing no objection, the motion carries. Under unfinished business, I'd like to make the following appointments. The following members are appointed to the Western Legislative Conference: Economic Development International Trade Committee, Senator Fisher and Zaroff; Health and Education Committee, Senator Sturzewski and Senator Hoffman; Environment and Resource Management Committee, Senator Adams and Senator Jones; Ocean Resources Committee, Senator Cotton, Senator Eliason; Water Policy Committee, Senator Frank, Senator Menard; Western Legislative Conference Executive Committee, Senator Eliason, Senator Pierce; Legislative Service Agency Research Directors Committee, Warren Endicott, Gordon Harrison. The following members are appointed to the National Conference of State Legislatures, Standing Committees of the State Federal Assembly: Agriculture and International Trade, Senator Cartula, Senator Euling, alternate; Commerce, Labor, and Regulation, Senator Collins and Senator Cartula as alternate; Communications, Senator Frank and Senator Collins as alternate; Education and Job Training, Senator Zaroff and Senator Pierce as alternate; Energy, Senator Pierce and Senator Duncan as alternate; Environment and Natural Resources, Senator Zaroff, Senator Ewling is alternate. Federal Budget and Taxation, Senator Ewling, Senator Pershaw is alternate. Health, Senator Fisher, Senator Hoffman is alternate. Human Services, Senator Pershaw, Senator Sturgiluski alternate. Law and Justice, Senator Halford, Senator Rohde alternate. Transportation, Senator Menard, Senator Jones alternate. Standing Committee of the Assembly on the Legislature of National Conference of State Legislatures. Arts and Tourism, Senator Duncan. Children and Family Services, Senator Fisher. Commerce and Economic Development, Senator Jones. Criminal Justice, Senator Rohde. Education, Senator Sturgiluski. Fiscal Affairs and Oversight, Senator Pershaw. Labor, Senator Collins. Legislative Management, Pam Stoops, Director of Administrative Services, Legislative Affairs Agency. Science, Energy, and Environmental Resources, Senator Adams. State-Local Relations, Senator Frank. Reapportionment Task Force, Senator Eliason. The Southwest Energy Council, Executive Committee, Senator Fahrenkamp and Senator Pierce. The Council, Senator Schultz and Senator Halford. They will all be in the journal. Is there any further unfinished business? Announcements? Senator Pierce?
Thank you, Mr. President. At 5 this afternoon in the House Resources Committee room, there's going to be a working group meeting on the Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, and I'll be speaking to that under special orders.
Thank you. Senator Zaroff?
Thank you, Mr. President. In the Butrovich room after adjournment, the Rules Committee will be taking up two resolutions, SCR 3, which is urging Alaska Housing Finance Corporation to use its current power to make loans for low-income housing, and SJR 15, opposing the proposed reduction of cost of living adjustment for federal employees in Alaska.
Senator Menard.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to make a couple announcements, if I can. On everyone's got it on their desks, the first annual Big Lake Ice Classic, $2 a ticket. Winner gets 50%. The other 50% goes to the Big Lake Chamber of Commerce and the Houston High School. And they're going to sink a 1965 Ford, DEC approved, all the oil out, everything's out of it, and the car will be raised after the event. 50% of the car. And one other note I'd just like to pass on. There was a long night at the Mattsuit Ice Arena Saturday night. Kenai beat Palmer in hockey 3-1. And the championship game, Soldotna beat Wasilla 6-4.
Why are you mentioning?
I'm just saying it was a long night. Is information, Senator.
Senator Pershaw.
Hey, Mr. President, this afternoon at 3:30, the Senate Finance Committee will be meeting and taking up Senate Bill 9, naming the Bob Blodgett Nome Teller Highway, SB 18, establishing Alaska State Pension Corporation, SB 41, making supplemental appropriations to DOT for Class 3 road maintenance and marine vessel operation and rural airport maintenance. Tomorrow morning, at our regular time, I believe at 9, we'll be continuing on these bills if need be, and we will also hear an overview briefing on the governor's capital budget.
Any further announcements? Special orders? Senator Pierce?
Mr. President, I move an unanimous consent I be allowed to speak about the Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Commission.
There are no objection.
Thank you, Mr. President. This afternoon at 5 o'clock, as I said, we're going to have a working group meeting on the Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Commission. I suspect that many of us aren't fully aware of the authority and also the responsibilities of the commission. In the wake of the Exxon Valdez accident, the state and this body came, I think rightfully so, into quite a bit of criticism for not having done better oversight on both our own Department of Environmental Conservation and its attitudes toward the activities in the Prince William Sound, also stronger oversight toward the Coast Guard, toward the Alyeska, toward the shippers. Obviously, we all came in for some blame, probably deservedly so. Mr. President, I'm not forecasting any sort of major event as a result of benign neglect to the Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Commission. However, there have been major budget cuts to the commission in the past few years. We're finding out that there's probably an inability because of understaffing for them to meet their statutory requirements. And I know that the new administration has some major ideas, or I've heard that they have some ideas about what they'd like to do with the commission. I think it's important that maybe the legislature get involved in this one at the beginning, not either when the administration comes down with an edict or an executive order, or after some sort of an event. Just to call attention to why I think it's important. Last year, most of you had across your desk a copy of an ombudsman's report in which an employee of the Oil and Gas Conservation Commission complained to the ombudsman's office about the ability of the commission to do its statutory requirement in terms of inspections of blowout preventers. Mr. President, the ombudsman's report was indeed somewhat critical of the commission, and we've had quite a turnover at the commission in terms of the commissioners. If you don't mind my taking the opportunity to just read a couple of sentences out of the analysis by the ombudsman's office. They say that any question regarding the authority of the commission to regulate in areas of human safety or environmental integrity must be resolved by the governor and the legislature. The commission's position that it has unlimited discretionary latitude in reducing the inspection program is untenable. Public awareness and concern must be reflected in its regulatory agencies. Increased vigilance over industry is needed, even as increased self-regulation is sought. Mr. President, I think that it's important that we look at this commission now. That's why we're going to have a working session just to put some of the ideas on the table. The chairman of the commission will be in town with us, along with people from the Department of Natural Resources and the governor's office. We've also invited any member of the Senate who'd like to come, and I know that a number of House members will be coming. It would be my intention that after we identify the policy questions and have a feel for what everyone thinks ought to be put on the table, that the chairman of the Oil and Gas Committee will, in his committee, have formal hearings on those policy questions, and that we will do something in terms of oversight of this commission this session. Thank you, sir.
Senator Porcheau.
I'd move and ask unanimous consent that I be granted the privilege of the floor to speak on daycare assistance.
Hearing no objection, motion carries.
Thank you, Mr. President. I introduced today SB 129, which would provide about $2.2 million for meeting both the shortfall and the waiting list for currently in fiscal year 91 for the daycare assistance program. I did this after attending a meeting of the House Finance Committee, they held a budget hearing over the weekend in Anchorage. And after you've been around the legislature a while, a lot of these public hearings, particularly on the budget, get fairly old and somewhat tiresome, and you tend to listen with only one ear as people tend to, one after another, hold out their hand for various state programs and urging our continued support for a whole range of different public services and programs. But I have to admit, on Saturday, I was really moved by a lot of the testimony that we heard concerning the daycare assistance program. It really is a program geared to keeping people off of welfare. It is geared to people who are just barely making it, really the working poor, many of them single parents. If it weren't for daycare assistance, there would be absolutely no incentive to keep working. They would get far more benefits, medical, housing, as well as direct assistance in being on welfare than continuing to work. The difference literally between what they're making now and a welfare, the maximum amount on welfare, is a mere several hundred dollars, almost identical to the amount of the cost of care of their children while they're working. This program seems to be of tremendous benefit. This amount of money, by the way, was not included in the governor's supplemental bill. It's badly needed, and I would hope that we would take a look at it. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Halford.
I move and ask unanimous consent the Senate stand in adjournment until 11 a.m. Wednesday.
Hearing no objection, Senate's adjourned.